Welcome to Inside Neuha, presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. For more information about all MBSC programs, visit info@bodybyboyle.com. Today we are joined by Post University's Grace Glasrud. Grace is a senior goaltender and serves as this season's captain. Grace, welcome to the show.
Awesome.
So before we talk about this season, let's just learn a little bit more about you. So you grew up just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. So tell me how you got into the sport and, you know, kind of being from Minnesota, was it kind of a no-brainer to get into hockey?
So I'm the youngest of three, and my dad played hockey growing up as he was in Minnesota too. And so, like you said, it kind of was a no-brainer to put me on skates. I started skating when I was like three on a pond behind our rink with my brothers, and they had already been in hockey for a couple of years. But from Minnesota, like, it's weird if you don't play hockey, in my eyes. Like, other states have football. Like, Texas has football, basketball down south. Like, Minnesota is hockey, and it's the only sport that I truly, like, fell in love with. My mom always tried to get one of us to play basketball because she played basketball, but it didn't stick with any of us, and she didn't even try. So going on the skates, I loved it a lot. Didn't really want to be anywhere else, I guess.
And what was it like growing up playing with your brothers?
It was awesome. My oldest brother, he quit once he got to high school, and he's a couple years older than me, so he wasn't really in the picture of helping me at all. But my other brother, who's here at Post with me, he would shoot on me as I got older, and once I decided to be a goalie, it was very fun, like, going to our cabin, playing pond hockey with them. We still do that because my oldest brother still skates. So, like, it's pretty awesome to be able to have that with my family. Like, not a lot of people have that connection with their family because their siblings play different sports.
Right.
But my brother that's here with me shot on me. He's probably one of my biggest supporters. Right this year, he comes to almost every game he can, and it's just nice to have him here with me, because in high school he came to any game he could, and it was fun watching his teams and supporting him, and he would do the same for me, so it was awesome.
Oh, that's super cool. And then when did you decide to pick the goaltending position? Did you ever play any other positions growing up?
I think I was like 8 or 9 when I decided to be a goalie, because in 8Us we had to like try goalie out for a weekend or like a jamboree, and I would dance around in the net. So when I first asked to become goalie, my dad said no, like, absolutely not, all you do is dance around in the net. And I'm like, okay. And eventually I won that conversation and that fight with my dad. But I was a skater for the most part, and then some. I think I have one goal when I was in 12Us, because I skated out for the weekend just for fun, and I scored, so that was pretty awesome. And I love shooting because I'm a coach, so any chance to get to skate out, I kind of love it.
Of course. And then kind of walk me through your recruitment process. Just how did you end up at Post?
So originally I was going into my senior year without talking to any colleges, and I wasn't talking to any coaches, didn't have my eyes set on any specific school. I just knew that I wanted to play college hockey. So fall of my senior year of high school, I had toured a couple of D3 schools, and I verbally committed to Aurora University. And then I was just having a standout season, statistics-wise, for my high school team. And that's when the head coach at the time, Heath Isaacson, kind of noticed me, because I'm also from he's also from Minnesota, and he's from a town that was in our conference. So he kind of noticed me, and he flew me out here after emailing back and forth, and he came and watched a couple of practices, and I just wanted to, like, complete my dream of playing Division I hockey, so obviously I chose Post over Aurora, and I'm pretty happy with that decision.
For sure. And are there any major differences you've seen playing, you know, growing up in Minnesota, but now moving to New England to play hockey?
I'd say the main difference that I don't necessarily enjoy is the weather out here.
Yeah.
It makes it so that you can't play pond hockey, which that's like a big part of, you know, just being at the rink, getting extra reps in, but having fun with it on the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's just like the hockey culture is kind of different in Minnesota than out here, but that's anywhere that you'll go. The hockey culture will be different from Minnesota.
For sure. And then just looking at this season, it's your senior year and you're named this season's captain. Just what does that title mean to you?
It means a lot because for us specifically, it was not a team voted. My coaches nominated me after being a part of a leadership group last year. I appreciate them for, like, giving me the role, and it just means a lot because our team has pushed through barriers that we haven't done before. And it helps me bridge a gap between the coaches and the players and even the faculty at the school. It helps me bridge a gap because it's easy to communicate when there's like one person versus 22 people communicating. And I'm a leader by example, and I think my coaches really realized that last year. And I know a couple of freshmen have picked up on that, and I love hearing like them, you know, say little things like, "Oh, like I love it when you do this," or something like that. It just means a lot to hear little things from the younger girls on the team.
For sure, it just makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's not very common for goalies to be given the C, but you wore some letters growing up on your other teams, so just, do you kind of feel like you're a natural leader?
I kind of feel like I'd say so, just because I'm a big leader by example, like I already said. I think that I do a lot of behind-the-scenes work that most people don't realize I do, and some, like, the coaches obviously are the ones that really saw that last year, mm-hmm. all the behind-the-scenes stuff that I did. And it's just what I did in high school, too. Like, even during the season, I'd be waking up 5 a.m. on a Sunday morning to go to my goalie skills, even when I was the number one goalie, like, because I could always get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always want to be the best. And I just think that has a lot to do with the mentality, and it kind of grows on some of the girls that want to be better for themselves and the team and be the best versions of themselves for the team.
Mm-hmm. And then the other two goalies you guys have in rotation are both sophomores. So just what kind of role have you played in helping mentor them this season?
Yeah, just those two. I love them. They're my little children. I don't know. It's very, like, most goalie relationships you kind of hear like maybe smack talk about, oh, like, why is that girl playing over me? Mm-hmm. But we just have a really good loving relationship between the three of us, which you don't really see that often, especially with three goalies. Their support has been amazing, and we support each other like no other. Even last year when Hallie came in mid-season, like, we were there for her, we supported her through everything, we helped her out. It's just been great with those two.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned your older brother, Tanner, plays with you, on the men's team. So what has it been like having him around this season in his first season at Post?
It's been awesome. He's my best friend. So I just get to mess around with him all the time. We have an apartment off campus together, so it's kind of like living at home. When we were, or when our parents come visit, it's pretty easy just to have them sleeping here instead of at a hotel and getting some home-cooked meals in. But it's been great. He's great support. He's someone I can talk to about anything, and I will talk to about anything. But it's just been lovely. I don't even know how to say it because I dragged him out here.
You guys must be pretty close to have an apartment together. I feel like most siblings wouldn't do that in college.
Yeah, we are, especially like some of the decor. We have a Mona Lisa painting in our living room.
Oh, wow.
We bicker, but it's only fun. It's like banter, I'd say. But it's just to, he pushes me to get better every day. It might not work, but, you know, I'm here to help him also because it is his first season here, and it's different being on the East Coast than in the Midwest.
For sure. And then, personally, you're coming off a 3-2 overtime win, making 28 saves over Assumption. You guys were 0-2 against them earlier in the season, so just how good did that one feel?
Oh, it felt great, especially with our two old teammates being on that team. It's good to see them, but it's even better to beat them. Our team really worked hard, and we've been growing each and every game, and it really shows, especially this past weekend against Assumption. Mm-hmm. We're hitting our peak right when we should be, and it's just great to see the team effort and the resiliency and working through adversity with them.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just two more weekends before playoffs, so as your season winds down, just what's the message in the locker room, and do you have any personal goals yourself, you know, it being your senior season?
The message in the locker room is really believing in ourselves. Like, we can't go into a weekend thinking that we're just going to lose because we've already lost to them. I think the biggest thing is just believing in ourselves, communicating, working through, and hitting our peak. Like I already said, like, we've been putting the pressure on ourselves so then we can actually perform in games. And it's shown a little bit, and it's the progress through the season has shown a lot. So these next two weekends will be exciting with that. For personal goals, I hope to beat Shu again, at least, cause I'm not playing this weekend against LIU, at least I'm not tomorrow. I want to beat Shu, especially senior night, and at their home barn if I play that game, and at least win one playoff game, hopefully win the whole series and keep going. But I'm proud of how we've been so far this season just because it's been a little bit of a historical run. Like, most people might not think so because we only have 7 wins. Mm-hmm. But the historical run of it is beating teams we've never beat before, being in close, tight games, Saunders having her shutout last weekend. Mm-hmm. And she's tied for the most shutouts in program history. Like, we've been working really hard, and we are kind of showing it.
And now we'll get into some of the more fun questions. So what's your hockey nickname, and who has the best nickname on the team?
Oh, I don't really have a hockey nickname because one syllable names are kind of hard. True. To give a nickname for. Saunders calls me BBG. We don't no clue where that came from. My sophomore year, I was called Costco. And then right now, some of the freshmen are starting to call me Grace Defer. It's just, I don't know where that all comes from. Best one in the locker room might be Hannah Luckman. Her nickname's Snooky.
Snooky, that's a good one.
Yeah, she looks exactly like Snooky from Jersey Shore.
And then why do you wear your number 37?
I wear 37 because I think it was my 15U year is when I first started wearing it. Like, the options were, I think, like 34, 36, 37, or 38 for jerseys, for goalie jerseys that were left at the Youth Association. And 37 was the only one that seemed decent. And I've had that number ever since, because that was the first year that, like, I really noticed that I was kind of a decent goalie.
And then goalies, you know, stereotypically have some weird superstitions. So do you have any yourself?
I wouldn't say superstitions, just my pregame routine is pretty knocked down to a T. Mm-hmm. I'd say the weirdest thing that people notice of me is my tape job. I tape the blade of my stick, and then I come back like 3 times around, and there's like spaces in between each one. Oh, I don't know why I do it, but
you think it helps you, or it's just more mental?
I think it's more mental. Just, I've been doing it since I was a junior in high school. Oh, it's kind of a habit now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't change it now.
No, definitely not.
And then what is your team's favorite way to bond away from the ice?
We like to be competitive off the ice. So, like, there's time in the fall, we have, like, a annual kickball game, purple versus orange kickball game. That's always a fan favorite. Our team loves dodgeball. We try to play dodgeball, or even in the off season, we'll play like pickleball together or get outside, do something, maybe go for like some hikes. And I think a lot of it just has to be outside and being together. We do some scavenger hunts. That was kind of a hit.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And then lastly, as you get ready to graduate, just what's the plan? Do you want to keep playing or maybe pursue a different career path?
I hope to keep playing next year. Mm-hmm. I have like 3 different options. Like I could keep playing. I could take a little, like kind of a gap year, to get surgery on my hips, or I could get a job next year. Mm-hmm. It's all up in the air. I really don't know. It all depends on if I play again next year.
Would you want to keep working in sports?
Yes. My major is sport management, and my internship is with our athletic communications department. So I do a lot of, like, the social media, and I take photos at the men's games. Like, I do a lot of stuff within the sports world. And it's just, I'd love to stay around the world of hockey, but any type of sports, I would love to be around.
All right, and that wraps up this episode of Inside Neuhaw. Grace, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck this weekend.
Awesome, thank you.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside Neuhaw, Inside New England Women's Hockey Alliance. Bernie Corbett featuring Post University on our program this week, and we're very happy to have with us the head coach for Post University in her second season, and just passing the 25th anniversary there last year of the 1998 women's gold medal in Nagano, Japan, and she was a proud member of that team, and very happy to have with us Gretchen Silverman. Gretchen, welcome to the show. Great to have an opportunity to talk hockey today.
To talk hockey.
No doubt. And once again, your second season with the Post University program, you're in the New England prep ranks most recently at Taft. What about the opportunity to come to Post, and what were some of the elements that caused you to make the decision to come to the college ranks and have an opportunity with a brand new, really, Division I league?
Yeah, well, the opportunity to, you know, help a team grow and develop certainly was enticing. And, you know, I'm living not too far from the rink that we skate out of. So, you know, it seemed like a no-brainer to kind of transition out of the prep school, you know, high school varsity hockey world and transition into the college world. I love hockey, and I love to teach kids, you know, how to get better and to develop. And Post was certainly in a position that needed some, you know, a new direction and some new leadership. So it's certainly been, it's been a project, but it's been really rewarding. The kids that I get to work with every day have really been invested in the development of the program as well.
At Taft, you had great success, 65 career wins there. And also, the Connecticut, I noticed in your resume, the Futures Cup, which is a camp, I guess, somewhat from when you started it, ahead of its time, specifically targeted to promote women's hockey as we watch the great growth and development of women's hockey right across the country.
Yeah, well, you know, being able to help young girls continue to see role models, you know, and work with role models. So the camp was pretty much geared towards 10 to 13-year-olds with an all-female staff for the most part. And, you know, really just meant to give kids an opportunity to grow and learn from some of the best female coaches in the area of Connecticut.
Connecticut, fine hockey territory there, and very fertile ground, development of many great players on the men's and the women's side. Your early development, I noticed, started very early. You had brothers and sisters that were involved, and you couldn't wait to have an opportunity to play hockey, and I guess was very eager to bypass the figure skating and go right to the hockey. That was truly your interest from a very early age.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I got kicked out of the mom and the skating class pretty quickly because I would only wear hockey skates and I only wanted to, you know, speed around. But I was not interested in learning how to do swirls. So I think hockey was definitely a better fit for me. And, you know, I had my brothers to watch growing up. So I certainly transitioned into the hockey world very quickly.
I think you're fortunate when you mention you got older siblings that are involved with hockey. Do they ever make you the goalie? I hate when I hear stories about, I was the youngest and I was the goalie and I was forced into it and I had no choice. There was no looking back.
Oh, all the time. Down in the basement, the little sister was put in the net all the time. Fortunately, we had some gear, so I was not without some protection. But I tried goalie for a little while.
Okay.
I played on the Whalers, the Hartford Whalers mini one-on-one when they used to do it at the Hartford Civic Center. I started like a U-10 at the time.
Okay, so you did have some experience, and that's good. At least they had you padded up there and protected. You weren't completely exposed there to some of the shots of your siblings that were older than you, you know?
Yeah, we might have broken a few windows here and there, but we all survived.
No, that's good to know. And went on from the New England prep ranks in your development, and would be remiss if we didn't mention what an outstanding career that you had at Dartmouth, with a two-time Ivy League Player of the Year. And you look back now, three decades, the numbers still stand. Over 300 points, almost 200 goals, and yet a 49-goal season. I mean, I guess when they say records that will never be broken, well, we can't say never, but we can say three decades along, and those records still stand. What a remarkable accomplishment.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, the game has changed, so, you know, those numbers probably will stand a long time. I would say the goaltending has gotten so much better, and I think, you know, just the speed of the game, I think, you know, the progress of women's hockey is so incredible, and the game has changed tremendously since I was in college. I'm just so happy and proud to see the progress of the game since I was in college and since the Olympic year in 98.
And you were part of a really pioneering group that played in the women's for the U.S. On the international stage, representing your country. What do you remember about those, more specifically, I guess, or what comes to mind about those very early days? And now I'm sure you think back to where it is today from when you first started and had an opportunity to put on that red, white, and blue jersey.
Yeah, well, most of us on that 98 team had grown up playing with boys. That was really our only choice. First female hockey that I played was as a 14-year-old with the Connecticut Polar Bears, the very first year that they started playing. And then I went on to Loomis Chaffee. But really, you know, we all grew up in anonymity. So you're on the big stage at the Olympics, you know, with a sold-out crowd and being able to play in front of fans cheering USA. I mean, that was just, you know, we were all just so wide-eyed at that point. So, you know, it was a dream come true for all of us who grew up kind of in our own little pockets of the world playing hockey with boys up until that point.
And that epic gold medal game, I remember it very well watching here at home, as did all of America, capturing the imagination of all of America. And first goal, you initiated the scoring in that game against Canada, and that rivalry, it hasn't lost anything. It's only been ratcheted up. Now they have the rivalry series. I'm sure that you follow Gretchen, and here it is a quarter century later. And I tell everybody, if they're not aware of it, sports fans that might not be familiar with women's hockey that I run into, I'd say, hey, let me tell you, it's one of the best rivalries in all of sports at any level is U.S.-Canada women's hockey. It really is special.
Yeah, that rivalry is really what propelled the sport forward. I mean, we would not have had the growth that we had in female hockey if it hadn't been for that rivalry. And I mean, it's so fun to watch those games, and you know, you get that little extra energy and that extra determination anytime you're playing against Canada. So, you know, I think that rivalry will continue on for a long time, but also watching some of the other countries develop and really start pushing into, you know, the finals of some of those larger competitions and world championships is only going to help the sport grow even more.
With a lot of the theories that I'm sure that you time-tested at Taft that you now take to the post program, I noticed once again from your bio, you talked about the importance of team building, and you've really got, it appears, some great experience to really bring the player, to develop the player as a total player in terms of the physical and the mental aspects of the game. How has that gone for you here in the second year as you begin to implement that at Post and find the student athletes that you feel are the most adaptable to your system and what your vision is?
Yeah, you know, it's going to take time, and it's going to, you know, little by little each year, you know, we hope to get better and better. But, you know, last year it was the project was really just getting everyone in the mental space and ready to dig in and, you know, work hard and earn time. And, you know, being at the D1 level, sometimes that's really challenging. You know, and this year really just moving forward with that plan. And, you know, I really drew upon the kids' ideas and, you know, their thoughts and what they felt was important in kind of drawing the group together. So, you know, I want them to feel also that they're a part of the growth process and that they're invested in the direction that we go.
And taking a look at your roster, you've drawn very heavily from Canada and really all areas of Canada with, as you preach the mission of coming to Post. Two of your top players, Maddie Noonan and Tristan Curry, your two top scorers right now, one from Western Canada, one from Ontario. There's never a shortage of players in that Toronto and the Ontario area, though, is there, Gretchen? It's just a tremendous pool, whether it be the men's side or the women's side. It's amazing how deep.
Yeah, we're really fortunate to be able to draw from both the U.S. and Canada. You know, and ideally, hopefully, you know, we can draw into the European market at some point moving down the road here. But, you know, I feel really fortunate to be able to find those athletes, you know, both above the border and down in the U.S. and, you know, just really drawing them to the uniqueness of what Post has to offer. You know, we're a small campus. It's a very tight community. And there's a lot of kids out there that are looking for that, I think, right now. I think COVID probably had something to do with that. Mm-hmm. You know, people are seeking that really, you know, face-to-face, intimate relationship with, you know, classmates and with your professors. So, you know, it's been really rewarding for me to kind of sell the story of Post and to bring kids on board to the hockey team and help us to start winning some more games, which, you know, we've definitely made some gains in that area this year.
Absolutely. The season itself... most recently from back in the weekend, January 12th and 13th, you had a sweep of St. Michael's, dropped four, but now have come back and had a pretty good weekend just this past weekend. Give us the perspective of how things turned around against Assumption to get a win on Friday and then playing one of those rarities. They can be great goaltending on both sides when you get into one of those scoreless tie games that happen from time to time.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're really starting to hit our stride. You know, we've started to play pretty tight games. We have very strong goaltending. Our defense is playing pretty strong, so we're, you know, we're limiting scoring opportunities. You know, our biggest challenge has really just been putting pucks in the net for ourselves and, you know, and getting those goals that are going to help us win hockey games. Our goalies are keeping us in every game, and, you know, some of the kids have really started to find the back of the net, and I think if we can keep doing that in our next few weeks and moving into playoffs, then we could put ourselves in a good position to win some more games and maybe win a few playoff games as well.
And absolutely. You're at that time of the year now down the stretch where it's all about being able to play the right way and to gain that momentum. And as it gets to playoff time, as you're well aware of, everybody is right back to square one again and ready to restart.
Yeah, I mean, really anything can happen. And, you know, the teams in the Neuha League, everybody's getting better year by year. But the parity among teams is certainly, you know, closing, and I think that's really exciting for the Neuha League in general.
And you mentioned about your goaltending and the guest with my correspondent on the show with Gracie Davenport is Grace Glassrud this week. Just to give some perspective on her, what she's meant, Minnesota native, and her save percentage, my goodness, .923 save percentage, and been tested quite a bit and passed many tests this year.
Yeah, our goalies see a ton of shots, and especially at the beginning of the year, we were playing against some pretty strong teams. You know, we don't mind stretching ourselves a little bit. We played against Quinnipiac, we played against Hurst and Syracuse this year, and we'll stretch ourselves again next year. But, you know, Grace is always up to the challenge. Our goalies all have a great relationship. They push each other and challenge each other. But Grace, as our senior captain, has really emerged as quite the leader, and you know, she encourages everyone, but she takes her game very seriously. Her preparation, the way that she practices, it really elevates everybody's game.
And you mentioned about role models, and a great story that I, in my research to talk to you today, about Megan Duggan, as I believe an 11-year-old, you being a role model, you have an opportunity to meet her and then being able to watch her achievements as she has become one of the focal points of the women's game for the U.S.
Yeah, that was so rewarding, and I didn't even know really about that I had, you know, inspired her until much later when she kind of reflected upon her experience and having met me. So, you know, when you go to all of those events and you meet all of those young girls and young boys and some of the events that you do, you know, following up something like the Olympics, like we did, you know, you just hope that there's kids in the crowd that feel inspired and, you know, whatever it is that their passion is, that they go and pursue it. But I was, you know, so excited, and I still keep in touch with Megan, and, you know, it was one of those really special times to be able to know that I helped inspire her dream and watch her really accomplish quite a bit more than I did. She's got several more medals than I do, and it's all good stuff.
Next up will be Long Island University, and it'll be a relatively short trip. You'll go home and home with LIU. Your thoughts on getting ready for that challenge this weekend?
Yeah, they're a great team. You know, you got to admire what they're able to accomplish, and you know, they've got a really strong power play. So we will plan to stay out of the box as much as possible. But you know, certainly a team that plays at a fast pace, and we'll certainly challenge our goalies. But you know, like I said, we're getting better and better, and we love a challenge. We see ourselves a little bit as an underdog, and we don't mind being in that position. And we're ready to work hard and learn and really use it as a testing ground for what's to come in these next few weeks and moving into playoffs.
Yeah, with a couple of weeks to go and within striking distance of catching the team above you with Assumption, they're pretty tight at that point.
Yeah, it looks like it could come down to a pretty tight race at the end, so we'll see. You know, it looks like we'd either play St. Anselm's or Stonehill, and, you know, we would be excited to be able to challenge ourselves against either of those teams.
We want to wish you best of luck there, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. It certainly seems to be right now just a really significant moment for women's hockey. I was up at the PWHL Boston debut. Great event, great crowd. The pace of the game I've really enjoyed. I think everybody's really capturing everybody's attention. Your thoughts on the PWHL and what this means for this moment for women's hockey right now, Gretchen?
It's so exciting. I actually had a chance to take the team to a game down here in Bridgeport a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just magical to watch, especially I just sat there and, you know, watched the crowd and watched all the young girls and, you know, the line after the game to get autographs from all of those women. It's just so exciting, and I think the pace of the game is great. I love that they're allowing more body contact. I think that's going to make things better. It's fast-paced. The goalies are awesome. I just wish I were younger so I could skate again at that level. But I love watching it, and I think it's going to be great to watch the growth in the coming years.
Absolutely. I think that they really are in a chance to really make it, and short-term right now with the progress, but real great long-term goals that can be accomplished. And, well, short-term is the final two weekends of the regular season to come, beginning with Long Island Sacred Heart, so everything will be kind of local for you, regional, close by in these final two weekends. And I want to wish you the best of luck to you and your post-team, Gretchen. Gretchen Silverman, our guest, the head coach at Post University, featuring Post University this week on Inside New England Women's Hockey Alliance.